allowed us to adjust appropriately. But Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse number 20, all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, told about Jesus brought by the chief priests and rulers to stand trial before Pilate, the Roman governor. And they demanded that he be sentenced and Jesus to die. Pilate, therefore, in verse 20, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were insistent with loud voices, requiring that he be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. You must be careful of the voices in your life. Would you pray together with me right now? In Jesus' name, dear God, I come before you this morning. I thank you for these graduates here today. I thank you, God, for what you have given us. I pray, Lord, help us to be sensitive to you. I ask for your convicting power to be upon this place right now. In Jesus' name, let your will be done, dear God. We're going to thank you and praise you. Anoint my mind, anoint my tongue to speak. Help me to be sensitive to what you're doing. In Jesus' name, let it happen now, dear Lord, and we're going to thank you and praise you in your name. God bless you. You may be seated. Pastor, First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, I was reading, said on one occasion he was flying, and he found himself seated beside a well-known theologian. And he desperately wanted to start a conversation with this well-known theologian. And so he did, and he did get a chance to talk with man. And the man told the pastor about how he had recently lost his little boy through death. Dr. Griswell, the pastor, listened as this man told the story. He said that he had come home, the boy had come home from school with a fever, and they thought that it was just one of those childhood things, but it turned out to be a deadly form of meningitis. The doctor said that we can't save your little boy. The hard truth is he will die. And so this seminary professor, loving his son as he did, he sat by the bedside to watch this little boy pass from this life. It was the middle of the day, and the little boy, whose strength was going from him and whose vision physically was fading, it was getting clouded. He said, "Daddy, it's getting dark, isn't it?" And the professor said to his son, he said, "Yes, buddy, it's getting dark. It's getting very dark." It was very dark for this professor. He said, "Daddy, I guess it's time for me to go to sleep, isn't it?" And he said, "Yes, son, it's time for you to go to sleep." The professor said to the little fellow, he said that his little boy had a way of fixing his pillow just right and putting his head on his hands when he would go to sleep. And he watched as he fixed his pillow like that and laid his little head on his hands and said, "Good night, Daddy. I'll see you in the morning." He then closed his eyes in death and stepped over into eternity. The pastor said that the professor didn't say anything else after that. He just looked out the window of that airplane for a long, long time. After a while, he turned back and he looked at the pastor, and with tears coming down his cheeks, he said, "Pastor, I can hardly wait till it's morning." A poet once wrote, "Of all the words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these is what might have been." If that is true, the one of the most tragic words in the human language has to be the word almost. Almost speaks of aborted opportunities, missed chances. I'm sure that as long as this world exists, almost is going to end up haunting the pages of human history. I almost climbed that mountain. We almost reached our goal. I almost closed the deal. We almost got there in time. We've all had those almost moments, those almost experiences in our life. We read about one of the most infamous almosters in history. In our reading text, Pilate, because he almost released Jesus. He almost lowered the gavel and said, "Not guilty." He almost said, "I dismiss all charges because this man is innocent." He almost set him free. What a change that would have made in our perception of Pilate. We might be calling him today Saint Pilate today. He almost did it, you see. But he didn't. He didn't, yet he could have. And that's the tragedy. He had the authority to do it. He wore the signet ring that said he had the power to do it. All that he had to do was speak the word decisively, and Jesus would have been set free. He did it almost. Verse 23 says, "But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified in spite of the fact that he was innocent, and their shouts prevailed." He listened to the voices in his life, the wrong voices in his life, might I say. He listened to those that were screaming the loudest. Have you ever noticed that that's relative to where you are at? It's usually those that you've let get closest to you. Pilate decided to grant their demand. He listened to their voices. We've heard the voices too, haven't we? Voices saying, "Go on ahead and do it. No one's ever going to know. Just a little bit of that forbidden fruit won't hurt." Satan has a way of beckoning us into paths that we shouldn't go, and what usually can be traced back to us getting too close to the wrong voice. It can be traced back to that place in time. If we really can do it, we start listening to the wrong voices in our life. But Pilate didn't have to listen to those voices. There were other voices he could have listened to. He could have listened to the voice of his wife, who sent a note that very day, "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man. I have suffered greatly today in a dream because of him." He could have listened to her voice. The Lord had spoke to her. The Lord had chosen her. He could have listened to her. He almost almost did listen to her, but he didn't. He could have listened to his own voice. Pilate was no idiot. He was no dummy. He knew what was going on. He knew that Ananias and Caiaphas, the chief priests, were corrupt. He knew that they were greedy. He knew that they had twisted ideas. He knew they were lying about Jesus. He could have listened to his own voice of reason and common sense. He almost did, but he didn't. Pilate's not the only one who's played this game of almost so. Some of us have played that game and we've lost. Some of us have been guilty of allowing voices into our life that should not have been there. We allowed people to get too close to us that should have never been close. Preacher, I almost made the decision to come to the altar. I almost made a decision to live for God. There has been the voice of God that has called you into the ministry at one point in your life. There has been the point where the voice of God, I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Creator, speaking into your life. But because you got far from that voice and you got too close to a corrupt voice, you found yourself listening to the wrong voices, and something that would have been so awesome, a ministry, a call of God, is now dormant and maybe even dead because you almost did it, but you didn't. I almost took the message serious. I almost said, here I am, Lord. There's actually those of you that I'm making extremely uncomfortable today, but it's not me. It is the voice of God. It is the word of God as it cries out today, trying to get you to understand. One more time, you've come to a memorial service. This could be a memorial service of all memorial services, where you can look back and say, it was in that memorial service that I can remember that I didn't just almost, but I actually went through with it. I did it. I did what I needed. I found a place to pray. I found a place of repentance. I found a place. Bible's very clear. There's no almost with God. There's no almost heaven. No almost place where we can go. There is no purgatory. The Bible is extremely clear. It's either heaven or it's hell. And Pilate's tragedy could be our tragedy today, depending on the voices that you choose to listen to. Life is like a roller coaster. It has its ups. It has its downs. Amen. It has its twists, its turns. And you never really know what will happen next. But if there is one very strong message that can come to us from Calvary, it is that God is able to weave it all together. Amen. He can take every one of those inconsistencies, all of those seemingly fragmented pieces of our lives, and he can weave them together into a beautiful tapestry. Just as he planned, he can turn your life around. He can make you into something incredible if you will listen to his voice and harden not your heart today. This is a message that we need to hear, because one day the sun shines, the next day it's raining, one day we think everything is going our way, and the next day our world comes crashing down around us. Amen. One moment we're young and healthy and excited and got all the world by the tail. The next the doctor's telling us some bad news, and we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Yet Jesus is saying, it really doesn't matter, because all of you who come unto me and find salvation, I want to give you victory. I want to give you goodness, not defeat. I've got something for you today. There are people who stand right on the brink of saying, I surrender all. I'm going to follow Jesus. They almost do it. Others are just like those soldiers. If you was to read on through the story of crucifixion of the Lord, soldiers casting dice at the feet of Jesus. They're so engrossed in what they're doing. They're so engrossed in their life that they're gambling away, that they never look up. Right at the foot of the cross. I mean, the shadow right over where they're playing. Amen. The blood dripping right where they're at. let that message sink in. Make it, you know, you would think that somebody would have said and realized, you know, and changed it, but they were so close, yet so far away. They never made it happen. It never did take place for them. I mean, it was after it's too late. Acts chapter 24, verse 24, the setting here is Herod's palace in Caesarea. The walls of this palace have witnessed some many bloody scenes. It's here that Herod passed the sentence of death upon his own two sons. I mean, imagine that. Many of the Jews were brutalized in this palace, in this place. Now these walls are about to hear a sermon like very few ears have ever heard. The man's name is Felix, the governor of Judea. He's wearing that royal red robe, and he can be so cruel. I mean, this guy was... I mean, he was so full of himself. From a worldly perspective, his life is a success story whenever you look at it. I mean, he was born a slave and later freed, eventually worked his way up to governor of Judea. The Roman historian Tacitus said he exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave. He was cruel and covetous. He takes his place on the judgment seat. He walks in, takes his seat. Walking behind him is his wife, Drusilla. She comes from a very wicked bloodline, daughter of Herod Agrippa the First, the one who had the Apostle James put to death. He was her great. It was her great grandfather. Another one named Herod, who attempted to kill all the babies in the land when Jesus, because he was trying to murder Jesus. Because he wanted to make for sure, because he was afraid that he was going to lose his authority. She was said to be the most beautiful woman on the earth. In the first century, she was married first at the age of 14, and then one day the governor Felix, he laid eyes on her, and he said, "I've got to have that woman." So he plotted and he planned and he schemed and he did everything his way to lure her away from her husband. He got her all right, and she divorced her husband, and she walks up, she walks into the courtroom, and she's got that allure about her that all eyes turn to her. And then in walks Apostle Paul, surrounded by Roman soldiers. His body is stooped over now with all the beatings, with all the whippings. Amen. With the pummeling of stones that they tried to kill him with. And left him for dead, but he wasn't dead because it wasn't time for him to die. His face, it had to look, be the face of someone who had lived an extremely hard life. His body broken, his body bent, it had to have been. Chains had him bound, and they rattled as he moved across that stone floor. He knows what it is to suffer for Christ. And irony, here stands Paul, bound before Felix. Amen. Felix appears to be free. Paul appears to be in chains. But it's Felix who his soul is chained and bound. But Paul, who is in these physical bonds, his soul is free. On that day, Paul reasoned with Felix, the Bible says. What a diplomatic way to put it. About life lived for Christ. And our faith is quite reasonable, he's telling him. Amen. That's what Isaiah said. Come, let us reason together. Paul wrote later in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, amen, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I say to this church today, to these young people that's about to start their adult life, it's your reasonable service. You're not giving too much. You haven't sacrificed so much. Amen. This walk with God, amen, it's not promised us a bed of roses, but it's worthwhile living for God. Amen. Oh, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Let's love the Lord in this place. I mean, Paul stands before the one man who has the power to set him free. Paul stands before the one man who can drop these chains from him immediately. He didn't beg for that though. He didn't beg. Paul didn't beg for his life. He didn't ask for freedom. He didn't bother stooping to that level. He didn't make any deals. He stood bold. He stood anointed. Amen. He used the opportunity to preach to the governor. He would say, amen, you better tone it down. You know, that's what I'm sure that voice was going through Paul's mind as he walked in there. Now keep your attitude. Keep it calm. You know, you can talk a little bit about your walk with God, but come on, this guy's got the power. But when Paul got in there, all Paul could see was eternity. All Paul could realize is, hey, I'm not living for right now. And when Paul opened his mouth, the Holy Ghost began to speak. Amen. It's powerful. All that we got was just a basic outline of what Paul said. But Paul reasoned with Felix of God, his righteousness. Man is not. Felix, God is righteous. What appears as righteousness in human view is truly filthy rags compared to God. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 said, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness is filthy rags. Amen. And we all do fade as a leaf in our iniquities, like the wind had taken us away. Amen. Somewhere we've got to get back to the place. I'm trying today to reach somebody, but on the other hand, I can only be so diplomatic this morning. We need an apostolic church, and the only way we're going to have an apostolic church is there some people that are really, really, really in love with God to the point that you're willing to be apostolic. You got to make up your mind. It doesn't matter who throws this away. It doesn't matter who gives up the identity. It doesn't matter who decides to compromise their standards. Somebody stand up and say, you know what? I'm not doing this because somebody told me I had to. I've fallen in love with my master. I'm backing up to the door. I'm going to be that indebted slave for the rest of my life. Amen. You can call me bound if you want, but really I'm free. Amen. Because God has set me free. I hate to see the way the world's going, and I hate to see the way the so-called church is going. The world has become so very disrespectful of the Lord. He's not just some byword. Amen. I want you to hear me right now. He is not to just be your byword. Be careful. Amen. Be careful how some people make me cringe. The way that they'll say the term, my God, or they'll say Jesus Christ. You better be careful how you're using that name. Amen. He is a thrice holy God. He is a God that you better fear. Amen. I don't care what professor says. He doesn't exist. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. You will stand before this holy God. And whether you're ready or not, you will be there someday. This is what Paul was preaching. Paul put the fear of God in Felix. Amen. It says that he trembled. We need more preaching like that today. You want to know why the world is going the way it's going? It's because the church is dying. Amen. You want to know why the church is dying? Because the pulpit is too worried about what the pew says. We need to get back to worrying about what he says and what he thinks. Amen. God speaking of us. If churches would just lift God up, if we could get back, if we could get back to the place where the pew is lifting God to his rightful place in their life. You want to know how people's going to get under conviction? You want to know how your kids are going to get under conviction? It's when you get under conviction. And when you heed the voice of God, you want to know how your family's going to repent? They're going to repent when mom and dad and grandma and grandpa start to repent. You want to know when revival's going to come to your loved ones? Revival's going to come to your loved ones when revival comes to your home. When you're more worried about being holy than you are about being sexy. When you're more worried about being right before God than you are being popular on Facebook. God help us to get back to. Where are the broken hearts? I'm going to tell you, we'll have far less broken homes when we get broken and contrite hearts before God. In repentance that we can get back to that place. Hey man, what are you talking about? I'm trying to reason with you today. This is what Paul was doing with Felix. And Felix began to tremble. I want the musician to come. This is exactly what's happening with you today. You're uncomfortable in your spirit because the Holy Ghost is speaking to you today. And you stand at a place just as Felix stood. Amen. Paul didn't pull any punches. He didn't pull God down to Felix level. I want to tell you something today. This popularity that is engulfed, and I use the term church very loosely. I should use the term religion of this Western society. That God is love. I'm going to tell you, God so loved the world that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save that which is lost. Not to join you in your lost. God loves you, but he hates sin. God cannot tolerate sin. I've got to get to that place. God, give us men that are willing to stand up and preach the word. Give us people that are willing to heed the word. Because you know what happened with Felix? Felix said, now's not a convenient time. Preacher, come back again. We say sin differently than God does. We want to call it sickness today. God calls it wickedness. We want to call it women's choices. God calls it abomination. Felix was brought face to face with God. God's truth needs to be preached whether we like it or not. It's not just politics, it's a lie. It's not just an affair, it's adultery. It's not just premarital indiscretion, it's fornication. It's sodomy. It's not an alternative lifestyle. God calls it sin. You can say you have active hormones all you want, young people, but God calls it sin. You to do. Not necessarily reject the Lord, just wait. Preach in Proverbs said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what the day may bring. None has promise of tomorrow. Listen to the clock tick. Somebody dies on average. Every time that clock ticks, those tickings of the clock is reserved for you. Some have a heart attack and they live, or an accident and they live and say, I come close to dying. No, you didn't. You're closer to death right now than you were then. You're closer to death right now than you've ever been. None of us are getting out of this world alive unless the rapture takes place. And some of you, unless you change your ways, you're not getting out then. In spite of medical marvels, the death rate is still one per person. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. The rapture, Jesus could return at any moment. He said, watch ye therefore, you know not what hour the Lord doth come. I don't think he's coming back today. Well, that qualifies as a great moment for him to come. Because for most, he's coming as a thief when they least expect it. Be ye therefore ready, because the Son of Man's coming in an hour that you think not. And here's what I want to end with. God could stop knocking at your heart's door any moment. Say, oh my goodness. Felix is under conviction, but we have no record of him ever finding time or God coming back and visiting him again. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's one thing to say, I almost became a millionaire. It's another thing to say, I almost was saved in eternity. You've got to come while he calls. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It'll never be easier to be saved than it is right now, today. Tomorrow you'll have more sins to repent of, less time to repent in, and a harder heart to repent with. I'd like every head to bow and every eye to close. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. With almost living for God lives, but they didn't. I wonder if we couldn't, as the praise singers begin to sing, I want to open this altar, and I'd like to ask, I know there's visitors here, if you're too uncomfortable to do it, it's up to you. It's your choice. But those of you that's bold enough, would you find somewhere to come around this front and pray? Why do I got to come up front? Because in doing this, you're telling all hell, hey, I've made up my mind that I'm going to do my best. I don't want to be lost, and I don't want you to be lost.